Words About Books. This episode is brought to you by the patrons. If you want to join in on this fun polling, then give us money. $2, Ben. Give me your money, Ben. Oh yeah, Nate, you're Ben. The giver, Ben. In a world where others take, he gives. He gives his money, his time, his blood, his bone marrow, his kidney, a piece of his liver, I think. I'm pretty sure you can regrow a decent chunk of your liver, and that's what he gave, a decent chunk. You would think he gives because he is happy, but you would be wrong. He gives because he is sad. He is a sad giving giver with very little left to give, but give he shall. That is why he has a Newbery Award, and you do not.
That was my judging it by its cover review.
Yeah. And that is what sold the patrons to vote for it, I guess.
I would imagine most of them read this as children. I did not. This was never assigned.
I was assigned to read it as a child, and then I did about half of it, and then...
I would never have finished this if you assigned it to me as a child. Do you want to say, who is it by? Lois Lowry?
I don't know.
You don't know who the author is.
That sounds right.
You're taking the I do know research to a whole new level of like I didn't even look at the cover the entire time I was reading it. Not one word beyond what I had to read.
You goddamn right, Ben. Lois Lowry.
Okay. Lois Lowry, about the author.
Who is not the person on the cover, by the way.
No, she is not the old man on the cover. She is, in fact, an old woman. She was about 40 when she wrote her first book. And before that, I don't think she had a job.
All right. Is that you're about the author?
Yeah, kind of.
What you did
So I looked into her because I had a lot of questions. It's going to come up as we talk about The Giver. I don't know how to feel about this one, Nate. I'm not good at judging kids' books.
And this is like one
100. I don't know. I feel like I nailed the tone.
He gives because he is sad, but he shall keep giving.
Well, he was sad, and he just kept... He needed to stay with the community, even though they're a bunch of robot NPC weirdos. But I don't care. Anyway, so Lois Lowry, like the whole time I'm reading The Giver, I guess I'll give you my pitch here at the beginning of the gist of my review. I keep wondering, like, okay, what's the point, though? Like, what's the point you're trying to make? And I have some thoughts on what the point might have been as a car speeds past my window.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's something loud all of a sudden in the background.
I live, like, 10 miles from a racetrack.
The point is, Ben, wouldn't it suck to not be able to see color or experience music? Discuss.
I think the point is that people should not seek to eliminate pain and discomfort at all costs. I think that's like broadly speaking the idea here.
Even if you have magic available to you.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there's like weird stuff mixed in from like 1984 where like somebody monitors everything they do. And then there's the weird, like, euthanasia thing from a bunch of other books, probably 1984 as well. Everything's 1984. And I'm just like, okay, there, like, he can't love because a socialist regime has taken his... ability to feel, to prioritize the herd.
Ah, there you go. Metaphor for communism. Perfect. Well, we solved the mystery.
But it's,
this has been our episode.
I don't know, because it's also like anti-war.
It also came out years after the fall of the Soviet Union, so
you wouldn't think. So I was kind of like, okay, if I were a conservative person reading this book, I would be thinking, yeah, this is exactly what the libs want to do. They want to take away your ability to see color so that you can't be racist.
First, we take away your guns so you can't fight back. Then we take away your ability to listen to music. If you can call that music, you know what I mean?
But then he gets mad
color.
At the kids who are playing war because war is horrible and nobody should fight. And nonviolence is the way. And so I was like, what is this lady's stance?
Well, you know how we could stop wars? We could just, like, make everyone the same. And, you got me.
Well, and it takes me back to that webcomic we've referenced many times where it's like, we're going to cure all the world's problems by making everybody one color. Which color? It seems like they just made everybody white. But maybe they made them like a beige.
When you should make everyone blue?
That would be a neutral, I think, option.
Yeah.
Nobody was blue before. And then, except Thrawn.
Yeah, except for Thrawn.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was cool enough. He was rocking it.
I look up Lois Lowry because I was like, okay, maybe her personal politics will give me some clue as to what The Giver was actually about.
And it turns out she voted nonstop for Ralph Nader.
I don't know what she... I don't know who she voted for. She seems generally liberal. I mean, she doesn't have a lot of, like, lengthy political speeches, which I applaud her for. Not everybody needs to make those.
Unlike the ultimate warrior, who just wouldn't shut up yeah. about it, right?
But she was a military kid. Her family moved around all the time. She actually lived a few miles from me at one point.
Oh, my God.
And she said she got some of the ideas for the community from, like, living on base and that tightly regimented lifestyle. And she seemed to speak about it as though she didn't like it.
Do they listen in on your home conversations on a military base?
I don't know, man. Probably. They listen in on my home conversations. Why wouldn't they listen in on somebody else's?
Okay, but would, like, you know about it?
You should assume you're being listened to at all times.
Okay.
That's why I only will talk about my true political thoughts next to a waterfall.
Ah, that checks out.
Yep.
You don't want anyone to hear about how you would solve the Iraq war.
Yep, me and a team of Canadian insurgents meet every Walpurgis Nacht at Niagara Falls. But yeah, I couldn't really parse what her political beliefs are. As far as I can tell, I don't think The Giver has any political beliefs. Like, most dystopian fiction in this vein is a cautionary tale against something.
He is pro not killing babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, okay. So
that's a political belief.
Here's my main problem with The Giver thing. 1984 warns about
good year.
A surveillance state gone mad. Things he was seeing with fascism, communism, basically totalitarianism in general, like the control the state had over your life. And people were ceding control of their lives to the states for promises of security, and we needed to be very cautious about that. And then Brave New World is consumerism, drug culture, the assembly line. All these things are dehumanizing us, and we need to be careful of that. The Giver is don't kill babies.
Very strong message.
Was anyone?
I think I can get behind that.
Barring some weird Republican anti-abortion rhetoric, was anyone seriously suggesting killing babies, though? I guess that's my thing. Like, in The Giver, there is a baby, otherwise healthy, just a little underweight and doesn't sleep well, and they euthanize it.
Incorrect, Ben. You're confusing that with another baby. The baby that was actually euthanized was a twin.
Oh, you're right. I'm confusing that with another baby.
Yeah.
So the twin... Okay, so it was euthanized simply for being a twin. That's right. They were going to euthanize the other one, but he doesn't get euthanized. Spoilers.
Also, Ben, my God, you're spoiling this book. They don't euthanize. They release them. I need you to use the proper nomenclature, all right?
With an overdose of heroin.
You need to use the proper wording. It's very important. Okay.
They shoot a whole syringe of heroin into a baby's forehead.
Okay. You're not euthanizing, you're releasing. Okay.
To be fair, Nate, euthanize is already a euphemistic piece of language. They're killing them. They're killing them with an overdose of morphine. But I guess my thing is, everything the giver targets is safe. What the giver doesn't explain is why...
I think it would be bad if we killed babies for the crime of being a twin. Vote for me for state senate, because I will not murder
babies. Let me tell you another thing, though. Another thing, though, Nate. I am kind of pro death with dignity. Like... when I'm old, ideally, and I'm no longer healthy, and it's only downhill, and I'm experiencing like total bodily collapse, or...
we'll put you on a sled, and we will push you down a hill.
Or, you know, God forbid dementia is like one of my biggest fears. I would rather, as soon as I'm diagnosed with that, just go. I would just
check
out. Yeah,
but you're not
a
baby, Ben. Okay,
right.
You're making this way more complex. No,
I'm
by
not.
Adding in like free will.
Because
this is baby, Ben.
Okay,
don't kill babies.
Yeah, I'm with you. Don't kill babies.
Vote for Nate. Okay,
the giver
he won't kill babies.
Also says don't kill the elderly. And I
does he?
Yeah, they're like at the end. They're like the old people will still die, but they'll die natural, beautiful deaths. And I was like, that's not what aging looks like.
I don't know about that one. I guess it depends on when they release the old people. At what age are they like, and now you're done?
They're pretty old.
Never said that,
I think,
actually.
They like the ones that are hanging out in the retirement
home.
I think
they're in like their 80s or something.
Yeah. So they're doing pretty good. So yeah. Like, only when they're about to die anyway do they release them. And I actually like that one. I don't think that's a dystopia. I want that.
Yeah, but
put me in your third grade class to discuss the politics of, of.
You want to know, Ben? This was actually seventh grade.
Whatever.
Yeah,
But that's my point. I don't know why. I want to be careful how I word this. I don't think the giver makes the case for why these things are bad or how we got here. Which is what most dystopian novels do, because that's the point.
It is a good point. Why did we give up music? Whose call was that?
They're saying something about our current society, and the best I can come up with is that there's a tendency for people to prefer comfort and a lack of confrontation. And in order to prevent confrontation, we had to eliminate differences and matters of taste, like music.
We eliminated sunburns too, Ben.
We did.
Yeah.
We eliminated pain, except for all the pain medication we still take.
Yeah, but, you know.
Also, there's like a lot of reasons beyond just seeing differences that you would want to see color.
No, absolutely not. They definitely don't bring that up in the book itself when the guy is like, yeah, I know that when they're flying over in their planes, they're not really seeing very much down below, so I just blend in with all the other gray-looking trees to them, and I'm good.
How would you want to fly in a plane where your pilot couldn't see contrast?
If it helps, I think only one person's in that plane, maybe two, tops.
I'm just saying, would you want a plane above you where the pilot couldn't see contrast? I
no, Ben, that's the first scene of the book. There's a plane overhead that's not supposed to be overhead. Where are we going to do? We got to release that guy.
They were going to shoot it down.
With what?
Exactly.
A SAM site?
Apparently they're maintaining a surface-to-air missile. For whatever reason, I don't know.
Or do they scramble the jets and they send other jets after?
No, they said, the giver said that they were going to shoot it down, but he talked them out of it.
Well, we got rid of war, but...
we have a well-maintained surface-to-air missile system in every neighborhood.
You need to have the military-industrial complex even without war, Ben. It just happens. So this reminded me a lot of ogres, like when I was reading ogres, except there doesn't seem to be a benefiting party. Like in ogres, there were rich assholes who just, they got to keep all their normal human genes and everyone else got to be smaller. We also know why everyone was made smaller, conserve resources, yada, yada, yada.
Right. Ogres is a message about wealth inequality. I get it.
There doesn't appear to be anyone other than the giver who has old memories, though, or who benefits from this system more than others. I guess other than the laborers. Yeah. Other than the laborers, but what else is new? Am I right?
Yeah. The whole world goes unexamined, and it's just kind of assuming...
But wait, what do they labor for, Ben?
They're probably building stuff.
Wait, mining? Houses. Wait, we're mining coal? Maybe.
You're always going to need a plumber. My thing is, with the giver, she assumes that your morality is the same as her morality.
That's very true, because as you pointed out, he gets offended when that baby is killed, but he really shouldn't, right? Because that he grew up in a society where that's normal.
Yeah, they don't name the babies until they're through that process. They're not people in that society until they're through that process. And I have to... Now, you could say that he's been inheriting the memories of people who are from a society more like ours. So maybe that's where he got our morality. But there's also I don't know how the memories work.
It's magic, Ben. It's magic. Do you want me to just
go ahead.
All right. So we've got Jonas. Jonas he's 8 going on 9, right? No, he's going on a 12, isn't he?
No, he's an 11 at the start.
Yeah, he's an 11.
12 is like the age of maturity.
Yeah, where you inherit your job that you will be working the rest of your adult life. He doesn't get a job, Ben. He gets skipped over at the ceremony. And then they're like, actually, you're going to be... the receiver. An old man is going to put his hands on you and give you memories.
I think Socrates wrote something about that.
Yeah. An old man is going to touch you alone, without any surveillance, and you're going to get memories from him. And some of them are going to be really pleasant and pleasurable, and some of them are going to be unpleasant and like you're not allowed to tell anyone. I'm making this weirder than it actually is, but I'm having a good time. How about you, man?
I don't know if you're making it weirder than it is, because,
Ben, in their society, this is normal. So,
if you're going to put the memories, if you're going to put the memories of a man getting his limbs blown off and then being mustard gassed into a child, I don't know if that's, wildly healthier than sex stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so he gets memories. What the reason he was chosen to be the receiver is he started seeing things differently. He was noticing color because no one has color. Plot twist. Apples are red, Ben. He starts realizing he can't connect to anyone else as he starts receiving these memories. He asks, they're really weird about, language for some reason, Ben. Do you know why they're weird about language? Like, you have to use precise language. Like, you can't say, you can't say you're starving because you're not going to go hungry. You're never going to go hungry in this society, Ben. You're hungry, not starving. Say it correctly next time. And then they apologize to each other a lot. So, yeah.
Well, again, I'm thinking it gets interpreted in a lot of weird ways because, like, I could see that going both ways. Like, both sides of the like, there's obviously more than just left and right to politics, but
how dare you?
Don't
talk about up, okay? You only talk about that around the waterfall, all right? We went over this, Ben.
Yeah. But arguing about language is a very political thing. Because language is not precise. I mean, I don't want to keep dragging up, like, contentious topics, but take the whole, like, the word woman or, you know, what technically make it about books. You know, that thing that set J.K. Rowling off, they said people who menstruate. And she was like, I thought we had a word for that. It was woman. But technically people who menstruate is more specific because not all women menstruate. Not even the people J.K. Rowling considers to be women, all of them menstruate. So that article, J.K. Rowling attributed an agenda to it that maybe it had, maybe it didn't. And I think that's the type of conflict that they're trying to avoid. But I do think this was written in the early 90s, so that was probably at the advent of, like, the political correctness movement. So is she taking a shot against political correctness? Is she saying
I don't know if that's
that,
when political correctness came around. I feel like that was later.
No, I think that's when they started. Like, they started around the Clinton administration with that.
Yeah, this was like the beginning of the Clinton administration. This is probably written in late George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, you're probably right. But my point is, I don't know who she's talking about. And if that... if she is talking about, that's my thing. Why is it bad? Why is it oppressive to encourage him to have more precise speech? And I'm not saying it's
because
because
they hit a child over and over again every time he messes up until he learns, Ben.
Well, that is weird, but that's also what they did. The
but
whole time
also
this lady
it
was growing up. Again, what do
and then
you think?
And then they give him that job. He's going to train so that he'll slap children in the future for messing up their words.
What do you think she was trying to say with the precise
speech?
Wouldn't
it be unpleasant if we had to talk like this?
Why do you think, I guess it's just to avoid conflict. And again, I guess that's my thing,
would it help if I apologize a lot?
No, you'll just sound Canadian.
How dare you? See, this is why we need to avoid conflict, because now I have, those are fighting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We will call it Northern American.
I'm glad you coined the phrase North America just now to refer explicitly to Canada. That certainly won't offend anyone. And that's my point, I guess. So the whole society is based around avoiding conflict at all costs. And I guess that was the thing that didn't resonate with me, because I don't know a single group of people on the planet that doesn't want to kill at least one other group of people on the planet.
Jonas was chosen to become the receiver of memory in his community. You can become a receiver too, simply by interviewing an elderly friend or relative about his or her past. You might want to talk about what it was like to be a child during previous generations. What games did children play then? What did they wear? What did they eat? What was school like? What kind of chores did they do? Did they watch television? What about movies? What were the most popular names? You might want to take notes or tape record your interview so that later you could write it all down and share these memories again with your giver.
Asterisk. Keep your shirt on. Don't let them touch you. okay. This but that's not at all what... That's not at all what happened in the book.
No. The elderly were just as robotic as everyone else. Ben, did you know that moms and dads don't even love their kids who aren't even their birth kids? He's like, do you love me? And they're like, well, that's not precise, Ben. Yeah, but like, am I proud of you? Yeah, I'm proud of your accomplishments. So that's why I'd say proud and not like love. See what I'm saying, Ben?
Yeah.
I'm just walking in circles at this point because you're right. I don't know. I don't know what she's trying to say. I don't know why if the giver falls into the river, the memories aren't lost. They come back, Ben.
I don't even want to talk about that. That's so stupid. So there's this whole psychic transference of memory, right? That's the bit. That's the conceit of the book, is that one person can psychically transfer whole experiences, their other memories, if you will. Everything is Dune.
And the best one is Christmas.
Into another person. Yeah, that's bullshit. And okay. On one end of the spectrum, tell me if you think this resembles real life Captain Christmas. Okay, on one end of the spectrum of human experience, the worst thing you could possibly experience, being mustard gassed in the trenches of World War II after having your limbs shot off. And then, on the other end, best thing it is, as good as it gets, this is the best you will ever be. Christmas. Just a generic Christmas. Your family
around
the tree.
It's like saying high school is the best time of your life, Ben.
Yeah, like, that's a good memory.
The giver
for sure.
I'm going to give you one of my favorites. And then as he was thinking, he was like, nah, actually, I don't want to part with my orgy. Christmas.
Yeah.
He'll buy
that.
That's
my
thing. 12.
or even to keep it tame, like the birth of a child or a wedding or something like that. Like,
hey, the birth of a child would have been better because then it could have played into, oh my god, they euthanized that child. How could you
right.
do that?
Right. He had that memory of like a proud parent seeing their child for the first time, and then the next thing, smash cut to, he's got to watch a kid die. That would like explain his traumatic reaction perfectly. Yeah, she should have done that. But then, like, it's for kids. This is where I come back to it. Is like, this is why I say I don't know if I can judge it, because it does nothing for me. But I'm old. I'm almost ready for release.
And any day now.
It could be next week. Who knows? And
it really does give the literal, I'm only a few days away from retirement.
Yeah. But so I'm old. I don't like reading kids' books, except Goosebumps. That was awesome. So would a kid be able to appreciate something like a birth? Or is Christmas more relevant to a kid? And if so, did you need to go to the trenches of World War I for the other example? You went from sunburn to World War I, or I guess a broken leg to World War I pretty quick. I don't know. And the whole, like, you got to take the good with the bad. And that's a theme in Brave New World as well, of all that stuff. But we were talking about memories. So memories, they can be psychically transferred unless they're not, in which case, like, if there's no one to receive the memories, if the memories cannot congregate in one person, they'll just start leaking out into the ether and other people will start picking them up.
That's how memories work,
I guess. And also, he can give a memory of being warm to somebody on a cold day and it will physically raise their body temperature.
Oh, I love the ending. Okay, here's the discussion from the ending, right? So I guess
why are we even doing all this work? Just ask me the discussion questions.
Yeah, so here's the one that I remember in my class, and I didn't read the end of the book, but other kids went ahead of me, and so I just kind of like stole their answers. Like, Do you think Jonas is, as he's sliding down the mountain and he hears music in the distance, is he hallucinating as he's freezing to death, or did he find another civilization?
And, I think it's totally irrelevant to the message of the book.
Also, there was a sequel that came out many years later. It was another civilization. He didn't die. The end. If you thought that he died, you're wrong.
So what are these people? Just memory. The Amish? Is this an M. Night Shyamalan movie? There's normal civilization just over it, like a short bike ride away?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. Who are these other people? Oh my God, Ben, the Amish just show... Okay. There are groups in the United States today that actively seek to maintain identity outside the mainstream culture. The Amish. The Mennonites. Native American tribes and the Hasidic Jewish community. What benefits do these groups expect from defining themselves as, quote, other? What are the disadvantages? How does the mainstream culture put pressure on such groups?
So, again, you're asking a discussion question based on something that's not in the book. I didn't know there was another community. You're not contrasting the two. We don't get to see Jonas's reaction. I don't know what benefits Jonas has. It would be interesting to see him go to the other community and find that they're not happy, or that they experience pain, or maybe they're just objectively better than him. But that brings me back around to, so the Amish. Why do the Amish want to segregate themselves? They're a weird cult.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Don't really have a lot to say beyond that. I don't have a lot of respect for it. I live quite near them, and you don't have to follow the rules very closely, especially if you're a man. Then Native Americans. Obviously, it's because they're trying to keep a culture that... the now dominant culture in this country actively tried to erase, like systematically implemented laws to erase their culture. And so now they have withdrawn from that dominant culture that literally attacked them to preserve what's left of their culture. Did that happen to Jonas?
Don't know. Could have. Maybe it happened to his forefathers, and that's why they got all samey. But we'll never know.
I read a lot of reviews because I wanted to know how people who read this as a kid viewed it, because it's obviously for kids.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this episode, you can use us as a source. Just don't put us in the bibliography. Just pass it off as your own work.
It's not going to help you. Yeah. Your teacher will give you a higher grade if you just say ChatGPT told you. I guess my thing is, I keep saying my thing is because that's how I start every sentence when I'm like wishy-washy. I saw a bunch of responses to critical reviews from English teachers saying that they had a lot of success in the classroom with this book. It got kids reading. It got kids talking. And that probably is true. I mean, I doubt they'd lie about it. So the book got me thinking. And the problem is there's no meat to it once you really do start thinking about it.
So basically what you're saying is...
Do you have a question in the list of discussion questions that has anything to do with the text of the book and not something that happened on the last page of the book?
So, no, this sounds perfect, Ben. This is the perfect book for a middle schooler because they will not think too hard about it and the world won't collapse for them. And they'll be like, wow, I read that really quick. That's what I did, Ben. I was like, wow, that book went by really quick. 10 out of 10. So if you don't think about it, you just go through it really quick. You have a few discussion questions in class, and then you move on to the next book or a topic. You're good. You're solid.
In the list of discussion questions at the back of the book, Do any of them have anything to do with the part of the story that is the actual book and not what happened after?
That's a good question, Ben. Because these discussion questions weren't at the back of the book. They were supplementary to. Also, some of these are like activities, I assume, that you would
need
the kid to do.
Okay, I'm
going to
Google The Giver discussion questions. Okay, these are questions to make sure that you read the book.
Yes.
Who is Jonas? Use at least three adjectives to describe him. In sixth grade? No. Kids aren't that stupid. Come on. No. Oh, here's Giver discussion questions by chapter.
There's reading guide groups.
I'm gonna scroll to the middle. Some of these look pretty good. Some of these look like good discussion questions. Well, think like English teachers, Nate.
All right, Ben. In Jonas's community, every person and his or her experience are precisely the same, which is not true.
It's not true at all. They all have different jobs. There's men and women. There's
Yeah, there are men and women.
A girl has a different experience.
Why didn't they just grow people from a vat? Why do we even have sex in biology? Then you'd eliminate the need for a pill to suppress your sexual urges, which is a thing in this book, Ben.
Yeah. What were you asking me?
The climate is controlled and competition has been eliminated in favor of a community in which everyone works only for the common good. What advantages might sameness yield for contemporary communities? Is the loss of diversity worthwhile?
That's the right question. And so the advantages they seem to have is everybody has healthcare. I'm going to go ahead and throw in elderly euthanasia. Everybody has food.
Everybody
there's no poverty.
Everybody has healthcare. Sold. Done. Where do I sign up? Get my color out of my eyes.
They've eliminated poverty. They've eliminated like unequal access to healthcare. They've implemented total and complete housing for everyone. Everyone's got housing. Everyone's got a job.
Everyone's got a family.
And there's also like zero crime, because if you commit a crime, they'll kill you. But
that's
the
not
net
true.
Result,
there's a three strikes rule.
There's
Ben.
A three strike policy.
Unless you fly an aircraft in the wrong direction, then we're going to release you.
Or you're a twin.
Yeah, don't be a twin. You think they do that for fraternal twins as well?
Yeah. You know what I was thinking? I was like, you need to have a bench. You need to have like a second string person. Just in case.
Second string person.
Well, just in case one of them wanders into the river. That happens from time to time. Or like, I don't know. Yeah, one of them commits three crimes and then you got to kill him. You need to call
and
up.
And then you pull up the twin.
Yeah, you
You're
pull up the twin.
Get in the game.
And then write a book from that person's perspective. I was a B-list human. But yeah, no, I definitely think they have advantages. They eliminated all social problems, essentially. And Jonas was angry about that because euthanasia was done. And instead
he couldn't feel things, Ben. You've never known true anger. You were upset that someone from a different community, question mark? They showed up in their school bus and...
Let me ask you an interesting ethics question to like flip it around. Are your pets spayed and neutered?
Yes.
Do you think your pet would rather be intact and never allowed to mate or sexually suppressed in that way?
Probably intact. No, wait. That's a good question, because she did kept running outside before my... This wasn't my cat at the time. So it's my ex's cat. And she kept running outside to get knocked up. And eventually they're like, and now you don't have ovaries. And now she doesn't want to go outside and just lay around and eat food all day.
So let's say, for example, there were no other birth control options. Like, it would be difficult to get a cat to... to use birth control properly. Hence the spaying and neutering. So I'm sure there's a whole other animal rights conversation to be had there, and that's totally valid, and I recognize it. But for the sake of argument for this book, suppressing the sexual desire in a world where you couldn't risk uncontrolled reproduction is not the worst thing. Like, if you were to tell me that the rest of the Earth is uninhabitable for some reason, now, of course, we'll find out it's not, but the logic seems to be that there would be some inciting incident that causes the world to be this way. So let's say it all collapsed due to global warming, and instead of birth control, this is what they did to control the population. Is that cruel? Or would it be more cruel to just teach abstinence and then say, if you screw up, we kill you? Knowing that one of the most powerful biological urges is to mate. I don't know. Have that discussion in your sixth grade class.
In The Giver, each family has two parents, a son, and a daughter. The relationships are not biological, but are developed through observation.
That's also not true.
And a careful handling of personality. In our
Several
own society,
families don't have children. Some
the makeup
have
of family
child.
Is under discussion. How are families defined? Are families the foundation of a society, or are they continually open for new definitions?
I think that's a good question. I would say continually open for new definition. But again, it assumes something about the book that is not true, which is that everyone is from a two-parent household with two children, a boy and a girl. They're not. Some people apply for a mate. Some people don't. Some people apply for a mate and don't get one. Some people apply for a mate, get one, and then don't apply for children. Some people apply for a mate, get one, and then apply for one child and never again. There are many different kinds of families. Presumably, it is also possible for one parent to die.
Oh, I see why that the ending thing is it. He's falling into a coma, or is he going to another civilization? The reason that was ever brought up, I'm guessing, in schools across the U.S. Is because Lois Lowry mentioned it in her acceptance speech for the Newbery Medal and said both possibilities are possible, but would not choose one as correct.
Then she chose one as correct.
Yeah, then she did choose one as correct.
Yeah. Back to the original question, though, I don't think this has anything to say about that family, because also none of these people are biologically related to one another. So the book has already successfully redefined family.
Lois Lowry helps create an alternate world by having the community use words in a special way, though that world stresses what it calls precision of language. In fact, it is built upon language that is not precise but deliberately clouds meaning. What is the danger of such misleading language? Oh, I read the wrong question, but they're talking about the euthanasia, Ben.
Euthanasia is misleading language.
Are they calling it release to deliberately mislead you?
I guess it's in the same way that, like, let me ask you this. Describe to me the difference between murder and kill. What does it mean to murder somebody versus to kill somebody?
Isn't murder specifically like a crime, and kill is the more general definition?
I'm talking not about legal definitions. If you were to use those words,
no, I would use that. When you're a soldier on the battlefield, killing an enemy combatant would not be murder.
Why?
It's war. It's not a crime. Like, if I were to go next door and murder my neighbor.
What makes it not a crime? Like, the implicit agreement that the
that
two
they're
people
also
drafted
trying to kill me.
Yeah. The two people drafted to be there who don't want to be there are
yes. Yes. Yes.
I would say in The Giver, she draws attention to something that exists in our current society. And hopefully that would make kids think about that. I do think that's one of the good parts of the book, actually. I think thinking about the way we use language, euphemistically, or the way we soften things by giving it a fancy science name instead of saying, like, to put a dog down.
Also, the murder would have to be intentional.
Well, a soldier does intentionally shoot somebody sometimes.
Yeah, but you could kill someone by accidentally doing something or not doing something, and it leads to a death.
There's an old Brian Regan joke about how manslaughter...
So what are you in for? Manslaughter!
No, I think that's a good discussion question. I think the giver does actually prompt that conversation.
It
points to the English teacher.
That discussion. Yeah. Huh? Also, they have a lot of bikes, Ben.
God, do they have a lot of bikes.
Is there anything else you want to say about the giver?
I do actually want to say something else about the giver. Let's talk about the very end, where the giver, an old man with psychic powers, didn't realize that we could just tear this community down if we don't give anybody else the memories. Like, how can he stay and the memories get released? I guess Jonas's memories get released.
Yeah, they get released, Ben.
And then
but not in the way that, like, babies get released.
They're killed, yes. The memories are killed and distributed amongst the community like the carcass of a cow.
Yeah.
That's another benefit of the community. The meals are all delivered. Nobody cooks, except the people who are meant to cook. Uber Eats is free.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so you also don't get paid as an Uber Eats driver. So
how did the giver... What about Jonas prompted this response in the giver that he never had before?
Jonas is like, what if I'm playing stickball down by the creek and I just fall in and drown? What happens Jonas then? And the giver is like,
that could work.
You had something. You had something, boy. All right, here's a plan. You're going to run... away.
I was so excited when he said that, when he was like, what if I died? And the giver was like, what if you died? I was like, is he gonna fucking kill him? And then he ran away and they came up with a plan, and I was like, damn, I wanted the giver to kill him, or to try. At the very least, I wanted the giver to try to kill him. Jonas beams the giver with a clock or something.
Oh my god.
Kills the giver, and then Jonas has to go on the run. That's what I wanted to happen. Instead, we just got like a 5-hour, it felt like, marathon bicycle pedaling fest through the fields and the forests and the hills. Why was the sled at the top of the hill? Who just left a sled at the top of the hill?
Well, Ben, was it really a sled at the top of the hill? Or was he having a hallucination as he was freezing to death? We'll never know unless she happens to write another book in the Giver Quadrilogy. Is that? I think there's four of them.
There's four of them. Is that a tetralogy?
I like my quadrilogy better, but you're probably right. So yeah, where were we going with this? What are we doing? I feel like there was a point here that...
Oh, what's the deal with the giver's character arc? I'm asking you.
Oh.
Why couldn't he figure that out?
Because he didn't have the knowledge of youth that Jonas had.
What are you talking about? He's
even
the Kwisatz Haderach.
He has everything. He's a really bad Kwisatz Haderach, Ben.
That's the thing. He's the Tleilaxu Kwisatz Haderach that killed itself. This whole thing takes place on the Tleilaxu homeworld.
This whole thing is...
This is what Tleilaxu Amish look like.
Of Dune. It's the dark timeline of Dune.
Tleilaxu Amish. I figured it out. That's what they are. You want to rubric it?
I guess.
Yeah. Unless you have something else to say.
I don't. Blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja.
Yeah.
I gave it a much higher score than perhaps I should have. But
I'm glad I can talk you down on that.
Yeah.
Content and ideas.
All right, Ben. What do you think? Because I think maybe I scored it a bit too high, Ben.
I'm at like a 2.
Oh my god! I think I'd go with a 3.
What? Okay. What are the ideas? Tell me the ideas.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was gonna say if you can list some that I'm just like dismissing, maybe I'll change my mind. But like the whole everybody rides a bicycle and they can't see color thing, it seems like she heard somebody say, "I don't see color," and she was like, "Oh my god,
that's deep, dog.
I don't hear music." Which I think
all the music the kids have these days, it just sounds like shit, you know?
What you listening to, son?
I don't think you like it.
Well, why not? I like this new generation of music. Mother of God, it's all toilet sounds.
I think not being able to process music would also affect your ability to process language. I could be wrong about that.
Well, I think they can process music. They just don't have any, right? And if you start tapping your knee to like a beat, you're going to be hauled in front of the judge and told to cut that shit out. And if this happens 2 more times, we're going to release you.
I wonder. Yeah, I guess the points never expire either. If you tapped your foot twice when you were a kid, you do it one more time when you're 70. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I kind of want to go with a 2. Like,
no, I think you're right, because it doesn't develop. It doesn't develop the anything.
Yeah, I'm going to mark my stuff as I go. Hang on. Okay, a dose. Organization.
3.
I'm there with a 3. I don't think it's too fast or too slow. Maybe at the end there, it felt like there was another 100 pages that were missing, but I think I've already punished that in content and ideas. So, yeah, I think a 3 is fair. Use of language. I think we got to give it the kids' book curve.
Yeah, a 4 or 5 then, I would say.
I think a 4 is fair. I think she does create an atmosphere. The prose is good, especially I will give her the way she describes him not being able to see color and then suddenly seeing color. I think that was pretty good. That was a neat way to do that. I kept trying to figure out what was going on with the objects, and then when she reveals that what he's seeing is color, it made total sense. So I think that 4 is fine by me. Personal preference.
I'm still going to go with a 4.
Okay. I'm down to a 2. I would not have read this like full stop. When I was the right age for it, I wouldn't have liked it, and I don't like it now. However, I can understand its appeal to others. I do think it does its job of being a conversation starter. And I think it was written explicitly with that in mind. And in that sense, I understand it. I can understand how it made kids think and how that makes it stick with them. Do you have anything you want to say about your more positive rating?
No, I still liked it, even though, you know, you're right. Nothing is well developed idea wise, and it hits a sweet spot if you read it when you are in school, because you don't want to think about it too much. You just want to like go home and play your GameCube or whatever. And so like, yeah, okay, Utopia by Game Ray of Individuality or whatever, bad. All right, moving on to Mario.
Mario Sunshine on my GameCube. So that just leaves recommendation strength.
What do you think, Ben?
I think if I could modify our rubric criteria a little bit, the recommendation strength for a 3 is a weak recommendation to genre fans. This isn't really like a strong genre book. I'd say this crosses a couple of lines into like dystopian science fiction, mystery maybe even. And I'd say it's a weak recommendation to general audiences, particularly if you're in the age group. I wouldn't recommend this to an adult. I think there's better dystopian books that have more to say for adults, but...
Why was this book banned? For
probably the sex.
Ah.
The reference to his stirrings. Probably not the mustard gas, because this is America and you can brutally kill people. But I never want to think about anyone having sex.
Same.
Also, he's got a weird, like, I will admit, his dream sharing was uncomfortable. When he's sitting at the table with his parents talking about how he wanted to bathe the girl in his class, I was like...
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'd rather be anywhere else. And you know, like, that's the one the teacher's going to want to read out loud and she's going to want to call on you.
You save that passage specifically for that kid you really hate in your class who's pissing you off.
Oh, is that why they kept calling on me? No, my teachers like me. I was just always drawing while they were talking. So what's your recommendation strength?
I think I'd agree. I'd go with a 3.
Yeah. So overall for me, that is a 49 out of 100. We could round that up to a 50. Solid 2.5. I think I'd round it up to 3 stars just because I don't think it's meant to be... I think it's meant to be a classroom book. And it is probably better taught than read.
Yeah. I got 58 out of 100. So, solid 3. I'm going to leave my... I'll put in more thoughts on the blog and I'll leave my original thoughts in there.
Maybe I'll even do a blog post. Maybe I'll try to condense some of my rambling... philosophical nonsense arguments into something less rambling. But speaking of rambling, I did write a blog post, 3,000 words on sex and gender in Dune. Enjoy that.
I won't. You can't make me. All right. That's it then.
Who edits this?
You edit this.
Then we're doing the Patreon. All right. Well, with that, we close out another exciting episode of Words About Books, where, you know, I think we were really in our wheelhouse here in sixth grade English class. So hope everybody enjoyed it. Now that it's the end, we have to shout out our patrons, particularly our Yacht Plan tier patrons. We've got John Bierce, author of The Mage Errant. He has a Patreon of his own where he posts short stories. Check him out. James, the gravy man of the If You Want the Gravy blog. He's reviewing soda. He's reviewing movies. He's reviewing books, which, you know, like, it's kind of our thing. But, yeah, he I guess we don't own it yet. And then we've got Spooky Shy, Shout with the Y on TikTok. And, of course, Isekai Sensei-sama of the That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster podcast. And with that, I'm out. I'm released.
You're released.